Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to begin with this declaration over this place and over every person that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And that when we leave this place this morning, and even as we sit here and take in the word of God, that we would truly come to realize that that is the reality, that we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Right now, in this city, in this province, in this nation, at this pointed time in history, you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have been born into the kingdom for such a time as this. It is not by mistake that you are alive. It is not by mistake that there is breath in your lungs. It is not by mistake that you are saved, that you are in this room this morning, that you are perhaps listening to this message. Is there a deliverer in the house of the Lord this morning? Preparing for this Sunday, I just really felt the Lord say this, that it is time that deliverers rise up. And we hear this perhaps time and time again as we come into church or as we get into our prayer closets and we feel the Lord tugging on our hearts. We feel the Spirit tugging on our hearts. But truly today, I believe that as we take in this text, the Lord is going to show us that we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and that God is raising up deliverers at this time, this moment in history, in this city, in this province, and in this nation. Esther 3, verses 8 to 15, it reads, "Then Haman said to the king, 'There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's law. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries.' So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, 'The money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you.' Then the king's scribes were called, and on the 13th day of the first month, a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded. To the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province, according to its script and every people in their language, in the name of the king it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink." Now, how does this apply to our day? How does this apply to today? There are copies of a document being sent out by demonic carriers, letters being sent out by carriers into every province to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all the Christians, young and old. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you say, "Well, that's far-fetched." Is it? The enemy hates those that are at odds with his agenda. The enemy hates those whose customs and ways are different than all the other people's. The enemy hates those who do not abide by his laws. The enemy wants his laws to be the top laws. The enemy doesn't like when God's people set on God's laws, set on God's ways, and set on God's customs overrun what he has deemed as his provinces. Revelation 12, verse 12 reads, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." The message reads, "For the devil's come down on you with both feet. He's had a great fall. He's wild and raging with anger. He hasn't much time, and he knows it." Now, can I say that it is only right that our customs are different? It is only right that our laws are different. It is only right that our ethics are different. It is only right that our standard is different. It is only right that our convictions are different in the world, but not of the world. The enemy hates those that have different customs than everyone else. He wants his laws to be the top laws. Esther 3, verse 8. "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from other people's." The message reads, there is an odd set of people scattered through the provinces of your kingdom who don't fit in. Their customs and ways are different from those of everybody else. And the voice, "All the provinces in your kingdom are overrun with one insignificant group of foreigners, people who haven't adopted our customs. Their laws differ from all other people's." I pray this morning that the Lord would give us eyes to see. He'd give us eyes to see. He would give us understanding that there are copies of a document being signed and being sent out by demonic carriers into every province. And the enemy's intent is that Christians would be destroyed, that Christianity would be destroyed, that it would be silenced, that it would be overrun, that he would kill and annihilate all the Christians, young and old. And you say annihilate? Yes. To mess with our customs and have us adopt new ones. How many know the enemy's trying to do that right now in our land? Trying to get the Christians to give up their customs and adopt new ones. To mess with our laws and have us accept new ones. To mess with our ethics. To mess with our stance on morality. To mess with our convictions. The devil wants to kill this odd set of people, scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces, in all the states, in all the lands. 1 Peter 2:9 declares, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The Amplified Bible, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The Esther call, the Esther anointing, lives today. God is still in the business of raising up deliverers. And it is his heart that deliverers would rise, that deliverance would rise. Esther 4, verses 13 and 14, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?'" Do you believe this morning that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? you wake up each day with that conviction upon your life, with that call upon your life, with that hope, that assurance, that we're not just going through the motions of living to one day pass from this life, but we are here for such a time as this. It's not by mistake that we are alive at this time in history. It's not by mistake that we've been born into the kingdom for such a time as this. God is raising up deliverers. God is calling deliverers. God is setting them in place. God is opening the doors. God is preparing the way. The enemy is out to plunder our possessions. He is out to annihilate and to kill and to defeat, to silence that which makes us chosen, that which makes us royal, that which makes us holy, that which makes us peculiar, that which labels us and marks us as the chosen of God. Can you hear the Spirit of the Lord calling you today? You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I say this morning to the individual, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. To the married couple this morning, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. To families this morning, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God is raising up deliverers. To the laborer, to the mechanic, to the engineer, to the designer, to the artist, the politician, the teacher, the care worker, to the homemaker, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. To the custodian, to the librarian, to the business owner, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I don't know if you believe that. I don't know if you wake up in the morning and declare that over your life. I don't know if you work like that's the reality and that's your call. I don't know if you view life in that way. If you get up and perform your duties, even as a mother, with the mindset that you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this and that you are a deliverer. That's the reality. God is raising up deliverers. That as we function where the Lord has placed us, we see deliverance rise. What will we do with the call? What will we do with the opportunity? Who knows whether we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He knows. What will we do with the call? Will we embrace the call, or will we run from the call? Will we ignore the call? Or perhaps we try and trade it in for another call. Number one this morning, it's time to fast. Esther 4, verses 15 to 17. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. There is such power in fasting. And we acknowledge that the people of God need to fast. I hear the Spirit of the Lord calling all of us to fast. Yes, to times of fasting, but also to the living of a fasted life. That we abstain from the food of this world, that we proclaim a fast, that we proclaim a fast for our homes, that we do not eat of the world's produce, and that we do not eat of the world's fare. Here's the truth this morning. If we are going to be deliverers, we have to eat different. We can't eat like the rest of the world and eat what the rest of the world eats. Our customs have to be different. Our laws have to be different. Our standard has to be different. Why? Because the Lord says it has to be different. That's what it means to follow Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. We don't partake of the world's fare and then hope to bring deliverance to the world. We can't sit at the same table and eat the same trash that the world is eating and think we're going to bring deliverance to those people. God is calling us to a different diet. He is calling us to eat different. And this might scare some this morning, but he's calling us to holiness. And if that's some old archaic word, then I want to be old and archaic. We cannot eat like the rest of the world. Number two. We have to put on our royal robes. Esther 5:1, now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. The message, 3 days later, Esther dressed in her royal robes and took up a position in the inner court of the palace. In front of the king's throne room. There are robes we are to wear. Robes that are royal. Robes that distinguish us. Robes that set us apart. And the truth this morning is that these robes don't just fall on us. We have to take them in our hands and we have to dress our lives in these robes. Never forget that the Lord has declared that we are chosen. Never forget that the Lord has declared that we are peculiar. Never forget that the Lord has declared that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation, that we are His own special people. You know, He never said, go and fit in. He said, go and create. God doesn't send us in this world to go and fit in. He's not calling us to fit in. He's calling us to be separate and create in the world, but not of the world. We have to put on our royal robes. We can't dress like the rest of the world. Number three, we have to stand in the inner court of the king's palace. Esther 5, verses 1 to 3. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. What I feel like the Spirit is saying under this point is that deliverers don't miss church. Deliverers stand in the inner court of the king's palace. Deliverers know where the real authority lies. They know where the power and anointing is found. Deliverers know where hope is found. Deliverers know the one who can reverse the devised device against the people of God. It says in the text that when the king saw Esther standing in the court, she found favor. And I say this morning that as the king finds us, our holy king finds us standing in the court, in the inner court, we find favor. There's a special favor reserved for those that don't miss church. Deliverers don't miss church. We have to stand in the inner court of the king's palace. Number four, draw near and acknowledge his rulership. We're just pulling from the text this morning, Esther 5:2. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. Right here, this is more than just words. This is action. Actions speak loud. Lord, I acknowledge and accept your authority in my life, in the life of my family, in everything, in all things. I welcome your authority, your lordship. I identify with it, and I unite with it. We have to acknowledge that he is the king. We have to acknowledge that he is Lord. He is the ruler of our life. He's not just Savior. He's Lord. He's not just friend. He's king. A lot of people like the friend Jesus. But when he steps in as Lord, we have to acknowledge his rulership in our life. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He is our ruler. He is our master. When he says go, we get up and go. When he says stop, we halt. Number five, make your requests known to God. Esther 5:3. The king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." Philippians 4:6 reads, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The Passion Translation reads, "Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life." And a word to us today out of the message, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Let God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Maybe you're here today, and you know and you recognize the devil's devised device against you, against your family, against your relationships, against your marriage, against your home, against your family, against your children. You're here this morning and you recognize the devil's devised device against your emotional state, your physical state, your emotional state. Again, that's such a big one. Your mental state, your spiritual state. Can you hear the call? Can you hear the Spirit of the Lord declaring to you, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God is raising up deliverers. You are a deliverer. We are deliverers, and it's time that we fast. It's time that we live a fasted life. It's time that we give ourselves, yes, to seasons of fasting. But it's time we live a fasted life, that we eat different, that our diet is different. It's time that we put on royal robes and that we stand in the inner court of the king's palace. It is time that we draw near and acknowledge his rulership and his lordship. It is time that we make our requests known to God. Listen to these words. The warfare against us is not only an attempt to destroy us, but to keep other people in bondage. When Esther and her people took up the weapons of God, many people became Jews, cast in with the people of God. See, God is raising up deliverers. The enemy knows that as we continue to stand strong, that as we live for Christ, that as we hold to the standard, that as we hold to proper ethics and proper morality, we don't relax, we don't accept new laws and replace God's laws with the enemy's laws. God knows that deliverance will rise up. And the enemy knows that deliverance will rise up. And therefore, the enemy is after every single one of us. If you're a Christian in this room this morning, you are a target for the enemy. And that's a beautiful thing. Because it proves our faith. It shows our commitment to the Lord. We love the Lord and we love His ways. Don't fall to a lesser standard. Don't adopt new customs, new laws. I want to remind us this morning that we are not alone in this fight. Our God is the great deliverer. We all have our role to play. We have our position. We have our station. We have our mission. But let our hearts rejoice today, knowing that our God is on the move. Satan is at war with the saints, and we know that he is seeking to destroy and exterminate, but he cannot. Listen to these words. In centuries past, a French king proposed to his court that they should launch a new wave of persecution against Christians and the Christian church. A wise senior counselor responded, "Sire, the church of God is an anvil that has worn out many hammers." The enemy will not win. We're called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Responsibility rests on our shoulders. We should feel the weight of this. First John 5:18, "He who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." The Passion Translation, "The Son of God protects the child of God, and the evil one cannot touch him." J.B. Phillips, New Testament, "We know that the true child of God does not sin. He is in the charge of God's own Son, and the evil one must keep his distance." You see, while God's children sleep peacefully in their beds like Esther in the king's house, sometimes the devil plots against us, but our Lord never slumbers and sleeps. He is watching over us. He is watching over the saints. Even natural creatures, if an adversary comes to threaten their young, rushes in to defend them. How much more of our God? You can have the worship team return this morning. The words of David Wilkerson. The story of Queen Esther is one of intense warfare, one of the greatest spiritual battles in all of Scripture. The devil was trying to destroy God's purpose on earth, this time through evil Haman. This wealthy, influential man persuaded the king of Persia to declare an edict calling for the death of every Jew under his rule from India to Ethiopia. The first Jew in Haman's sight was righteous Mordecai, Esther's uncle. Haman had a gallows built especially for Mordecai, but Esther intervened. Calling God's people to prayer and laying her life on the line to countermand Haman's order, God exposed the wicked scheme, and Haman ended up hanging on his own gallows. The king not only reversed the death order, but he gave Haman's house to Esther, an estate worth millions by today's standards. Yet Haman's mansion wasn't the only spoil taken in this story. Scripture tells us the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Esther 8:16. These were the true spoils gained in battle with the enemy. I want to ask this morning, will we lay our life on the line to countermand the enemy's order, to stop, to annul, to reverse, to cancel the enemy's order? Will we lay our life on the line for the kingdom of God? You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God is raising up deliverers. God is raising up deliverers in this city and in this province, and yes, in this nation. God is raising up deliverers in this house, in this church. Oh, that it would be so that every person would accept the call and run with it. But God is not restricted to save by many nor by few. But the question today is, what will we do with the call? What will you do with the call? He's saying to you, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You've been born into the kingdom for such a time as this. The words of Charles Spurgeon. An enthusiasm which overpowers you is likely to overpower others. Do not fail from lack of fervor. Never mind if men think you are crazy. When you are overwhelmed yourself, the flood of zeal will bear all opposition before it. When you become so fanatically insane as to be absorbed by a passion for the glory of God, the salvation of men, the spread of the truth, and the reclaiming of the fallen masses, there shall be about you the truest sanity and the mightiest force. May you feel such a passion concerning missions today. May you feel that the gospel must be preached to all nations. May you feel that impulse at this moment while we worship God by giving our contributions to His cause. I ask this morning, will you answer the call? Will you step out of your seat and be counted among the deliverers? Now is the time, God is saying, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let's stand this morning. The team's going to begin to lead and sing out this song. Just close yourself in with the Lord.